as the Holy Grail glows with soft light. From the dome above, a white dove descends to hover over Parsifal's head as he raises the grail in blessing over the Fellowship of the Knights. The end of Richard Wagner's last opera, Parsifal. And here at the BBC Proms, our Parsifal this evening was Swedish tenor Lars Klevermann, who's just left the stage as the Halle's music director, Sir Mark Elder, walks to the front and opens his arms wide, bowing to the promenaders in front of him. And opening his arms now to his orchestra, the Halle, and behind them, the men from the chorus of the Royal Opera. We heard Mark Elder talking earlier about Parsifal's influence on a wide variety of composers, and Hugo Wolf was a student when he went to see the premiere at Bayreuth. Parsifal is without doubt the most beautiful and sublime work in the whole field of art, he wrote afterwards. It sounds like there are plenty of people here who'd agree as our four principals come back onto the stage. Bowing low, Kundry, Katharina Dalyman, Gurnemans, Sir John Tomlinson, Amfortas, sung by Detlef Roth, standing in for Ian Paterson. And of course, Parsifal, Lars Klevermann. He made his Bayreuth debut 2 years ago as Tannhäuser, and you can hear his Siegfried in Götterdämmerung, recorded with the Halle and Mark Elder, an award-winning recording. And he was telling me he has still more Wagner immediately ahead of him. Two more Tristans, a ring at the Met, and then also one in Riga in Latvia. Here comes Detlef Roth, wound healed, succession assured, as Parsifal takes over the stewardship of the Knights of the Grail at the end of the opera. That's our Amfortas. He's from Germany's Black Forest. Kundry. Katharina Dalyman, the rose from hell, as Klingsor called her, sung, well, with tremendous impact here in the Royal Albert Hall. And Dalyman's a major presence in Wagner productions this season. She's been singing at Brunhilde and Kundry at the Met, Vienna and Bavarian State Operas. And her next engagement is Kundry in a new production in Stockholm. And those roars and the drumming of heels, it's Sir John Tomlinson, Gurnemans, the veteran bass, vastly experienced Wagnerian. And he was telling me yesterday it's been one of the busiest seasons he can remember. Not just Wagner, but Birtwistle, Henze, Bartok, Kurtag, a new Brett Dean piece with the Berlin Philharmonic. And here's Lars Klevermann. Shaking hands with John Tomlinson, joining hands with Katharina Dalyman, and the four of them come to the front of the stage and bow low. And we must mention our choruses, especially because of that contribution, that glowing contribution at the end of Parsifal. On stage, the Royal Opera Chorus, Chorus Master Renato Balsadonna. Off stage, from Manchester, the Halle Youth Choir. I think there's over 60 of them here, trained by Richard Wilberforce. And with them up in the gods here at the Royal Albert Hall, Trinity Boys Choir from Croydon in southeast London, over 30 of them. And here come the Chorus Masters, Renato Balsadonna, Richard Wilberforce, and for Trinity, Michael Holliday. And they and the other offstage elements were kept on the rails by assistant conductor Jamie Phillips, which is the very role Mark Elder used to play for Reginald Goodall at English National Opera. Stage direction by Justin Ray, of course, who we met during the first interval this evening. Well, Parsifal isn't just the epic ending to Wagner's lifelong search for his total work of art. It's also the end of this immense 200th anniversary Wagner Odyssey here at the BBC Proms this season, from the low opening E-flat major of Das Rheingold at the start of Barenboim's Ring Cycle over a month ago to the radiant A-flat ending of Parsifal, which you've just heard conducted by Sir Mark Elder as he arrives back on the podium. He's asking for some of the principals in the Halle to take their share of the applause now, especially from the winds. Rheingold in E-flat, Parsifal in A-flat. It's an extremely elongated, perfect cadence, if you think about it, isn't it? But what an immense achievement it's been for everyone involved. And if you're wondering how you'll manage now without Wagner from the proms, don't forget to listen again online with the iPlayer radio. There is a little more Wagner to look forward to. The overture to the Master Singers, opening the last night of the proms in 2 weekends' time. Big roar for the onstage brass there. Now, there are 3 proms to look forward to tomorrow. Chamber music from Cadogan Hall at lunchtime, 1 o'clock. Back in the big hall, a light organ prom at 4:30, and the John Wilson Orchestra's Hollywood Rhapsody prom at 7:30. All of them live here on BBC Radio 3. Another roar for the Halle. Mark Elder nodding his appreciation to them, opening his arms wide again. Leader Lynn Fletcher. Well, that's Hollywood Rhapsody prom tomorrow is a world away from where Wagner has left us tonight with his radiant fable of compassion and redemption. It sounds like we're all Wagnerians now here at the BBC Prom's very own Bayreuth by the Serpentine. And as the soloists come back onto the stage to join Mark Elder, let's go back to the only slightly less exalted portals of Broadcasting House, where Katrina Young awaits us.
Thank you, Andrew. Very nicely put. That was Andrew McGregor at the Royal Albert Hall, and what an evening he's had. Well, it's certainly hard to follow that here on Radio 3, but follow it we must. We're running a little behind schedule at the moment. It's now just after 17 minutes to 11. And for tonight's World Roots, Lopa Katari was at last month's Rainforest World Music Festival in Borneo.
I'm James from Australia, and yeah, I've come to just enjoy the whole atmosphere and the whole spiritual coming together of this festival, and it's something I've been wanting to do for a really long time, and yeah, just glad I've made it, finally.
Okay, my name is Mary, I'm from the UK, and we've been here twice before, and we're here because we really enjoy the music and the atmosphere.
My name's Chad, I'm from Malaysia, from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and I'm just here tagging along with friends. It's been good so far, having a good time. I hope it doesn't rain tonight, like what it did yesterday, but yeah, enjoying myself, heaps of people around, yeah, been good.
Hi, I'm Vanessa from Australia. I'm here with my friend. We both decided to catch up for my birthday, and my friend's been living over in Thailand, so it was a nice place to meet. We have a similar World Music Festival back in Adelaide called WOMAD, which we love and we go to every year. So we thought, why not? Let's try something a little bit different. And we've just loved it. It's a fantastic festival, very relaxing, and you meet wonderful people. So,
I'm Erin Tan, come from Singapore. This is the first time I visit Kuching. Then because today I just reached here this evening, then I will talk to the taxi driver. Taxi driver recommend us because they say this is the last night. Then if we miss this opportunity, so we will wait for another year, or that's why we are here.
Like most festivals, yes, we've had rain. The clue is in the name, though. I'm at the Rainforest World Music Festival on the island of Borneo, and you can be pretty sure that between 7 and 7:30 in the evening, it will indeed rain. But that hasn't deterred thousands of people, both from here in Malaysia and beyond, from coming to hear some of the great music in a truly dramatic setting. Now, here in Malaysia, the Chinese are one of the longest established migrant communities. And starting tonight are some of the new kids on the block. They call themselves the Shangyan Chinese Chamber Music Ensemble. But their music does reflect the fact that they consider themselves Chinese Malay, because sat amongst the zithers and the flutes is one of Malaysia's iconic traditional instruments, the sape.
Let's hear it for Shangyan Chinese Chamber Orchestra!
Well, the rain has followed us to the town of Miri, which is close to where the Bisaya people live. They're known as rainforest dwellers, and they're also famous for their music. But strangely, the instruments they're best known for playing are not made out of bamboo or any kind of wood. They are, in fact, brass gongs. We heard last week how the gamelan came to Malaysia from Indonesia, and several sets clearly found their way deep into the Sarawak rainforest. But this isn't the kind of sophisticated gamelan music you'll hear in Bali or Java or Kuala Lumpur or even on London's South Bank. This is music for the spirits of the forest. This is the real rural deal. Here they are, the Bisaya Gong Orchestra. Making the room virtually vibrate, the Bisaya Gong Orchestra, playing music from their community, one of the northernmost indigenous communities of Sarawak. Cornelius Lalam Sambat is the leader of the band, and Eni Lukong runs the community center here in Miri, where the band are playing for us. Tell me, how did the metal gong come to this community?
Actually, I think they, in the ancient time, I think they bought from the island of Java, I think Java, from Indonesia. So when they come to the, our Bisaya community, so they play that music to perform their spiritual, their ritual to heal the sickness. But now, I think we hang it at our corner of the house, at the lobby of the house, and then everybody can play. We keep on playing.
Cornelius, some of the music you play all night long.
We call it Tamarok. So during that time, we play this music the whole night. So the spirit asks people to play the music.
Actually, the medium spirit asking for the music. And then they ask the type of music should be played. So the musician have to follow. So easy to cure the sickness. So meaning that the medium spirit negotiate with the higher spirit to cure the sickness.
So when somebody is unwell,
yes, true.
The spirit that can heal.
Yes, can heal.
Asks the band to play that music,
yes.
Which will help the spirit get the power from the greater God.
Yes, that can cure the sickness. So there's certain music also, we put it as our happy for our occasion. We call it gandang parang, and this gandang chayau usually is for the happy occasion, actually, wedding ceremony.
So the next piece is gandang baradu.
All this type of music we use is during the harvesting, during the offering time.
So your music is to say thank you for the harvest and please heal the people who are sick.
Really, Thanksgiving.
Gandang Baradu, celebrating the harvest and bringing healing powers to the spirits. That's from Bisaya Gong Orchestra. Now joining me now is Antonio Kati Gales, who's the president of the Persatuan Bisaya Sarawak, the head representative of the Bisaya community here in Miri. Mr. Gales, tell me something about the Bisaya community.
There are about 10,000 of us. We have more than 30 villages along the riverside, River Rhine community, and also by the roadside now, when the road coming over to our area, and then people residing next to the road.
Is this making it easier to let other communities know about your culture?
Sure, yeah. In the village level, those days when they do ritual, they don't have a sound system. So they have to hit it quite loud, and you can hear it from far distance. Because in the village, the setting is quite quiet. There's no car, no motorcycle. You can hear the sound of this gong easily 2 or 3 kilometers away.
What a great way to say that the party has begun.
Yes, exactly. It's more like telling people there's an occasion somewhere in the next village. You don't have to tell people, people knows that there's a ritual ceremony over there. And you just come and welcome and see the ceremony. Everybody are welcome.
Old style internet.
Yes, it's a sound system. And this gong, just to add in those days, when somebody lost in the jungle, they also hit the big gong, the big one. And they will hit the gong, and but the way the sounding is different. And the people knows what is the sound for. They call it gandang panggil, yeah. It's telling people somebody was lost.
So it's been a very central part.
Yes,
of
and
the
then
community.
that gong also, that particular gong, it can be used to tell people somebody died. Mm. And the rhythm is different. And then you know, oh, somebody died. It's a sad music. It's more like a bell system, like the church one. Just telling people it's time for prayer.
And the younger people in the community are now more interested in learning the music?
That partly because those days we introduced the competition among the villagers. And then the people, like you see some youngsters, they start to learn how to play their instrument. The older one teach the younger one. When they grow older, the younger one learn from the older one. So it's been like that all the time.
Well, apart from music, your community is known for its buffalo races.
Yes, thank you.
Tell me about that.
Our community identified with the buffalo. Nearly all the family got at least a buffalo or a couple of buffaloes. This buffalo become part of the community. In the olden day, whoever got more buffalo considered very rich. Because the buffalo can translate to money, you can sell it. And they use the buffalo as a transport, mode of transport, to carry log, for the house posts, for the plank, also to carry paddy from the paddy field. Now, our people are quite creative. They say, why not race this buffalo? Because they can ride buffalo. Why not we do racing among ourselves? This buffalo, because they're slow moving, big animals, quite stubborn one. Somehow the Bisaya people got a trick how to make them run. And we look at it. Why not make it become our festival? It's become an icon of our community.
So throughout the festival, the music is playing for the 2-3 days.
The live music will be this when the welcoming ceremony. That is the when the guest owner come, this music will be played. And also the night time where the beauty contest is on, they play this music.
This next piece that the orchestra is going to play is called
Ambit Katunyang.
Yeah, Ambit Katunyang. Tell me, what is it about?
The Ambit Katunyang is for ritual. During the night, they have to change the tune. It's not too monotonous, quite boring. Yeah? So the gongs, those orchestra, they play many type of rhythm. They call it rhythm, type of music. But it's for the same purpose. They do the dance around and whatnot. So they depend on the people to play the music to make them more lively. So it depends. If it's too soft, very sleepy, people sleep. So they want people to be with them, people to be awake, right?
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We're back here on the Rainforest World Music Festival site, and we're here for a band who've come from the other side of the world. It's a French band, singers and percussionists, who've gone around the world collecting musical bits and pieces and turning them into music that's all their own, sort of musical magpies. Here they are, Chetnu Netta. Desi el agua de Roariba hermana, ahí está la fuente del agua clara, la onza de la gracia, como la venderé, ya como la venderé. Desi el agua de Roariba chiquita, desi el agua de Roariba chiquita, ahí está la fuente del agua viva, la onza de la gracia, como la venderé, ya como la venderé. No la vendo por onza ni por cuartero, no la vendo por onza ni por cuartero, with the guys from Chetnu Netta, and that was a song called Agua Dero. I've got Furad, Michael, Lilia, and Anna. Tell me something, guys. First of all, you play at many, many festivals.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does the Rainforest Festival rate?
Maybe the first experience is to meet a different people. We never went in Asia. we feel the atmosphere, the forest, the people from the forest, and then to be here is like honor, because we are not really exactly from one tradition. We try to make a mix, to make something new. It's really nice for us.
How do your compositions work? Because you, as you said, Michael, you draw on so many different influences.
We are really democratic group. Then all the people can come in the group and say, oh, I find this melody, maybe it's interesting, or I find this idea. It's like a garden. We put something in
a seed, you plant a seed,
and we put the water, everybody put the water, and every time is different. Sometimes we get the words in the bibliothèque, library, sometimes we get the song in the metro in Paris, and we try together to make this garden, beautiful garden.
What is your background? So Lilia, you are from Italy?
Yeah, I'm starting with the theater. I live in Naples, in a little town around Naples. Tradition is very, very strong. Tarantella, yeah. Tamburiata. Mm. It speaks with the simple life, the people, and I very sensibility for other tradition, because it's something the same in the heart of tradition. It's the life, it's the love, it's the marriage, it's the voice of the people.
Tell me about Pygmy Blues.
Pygmy Blues is like a composition too.
Yeah.
Because we disagree with the deforestation. It's not
it's
normal.
Simple, that.
Yes, this is real simple.
Yeah.
The forest is very important for many, many, many things.
The people we live in the forest and cause the economical reason. It's culture, it's a language, it's a song. Disparate with the forest.
Pygmy Blues, for me, it's not just about pygmy and not just about deforestation, but more largely.
For example, here, they have the same problem here with the Pinan people. They protest every day about the deforestation and the water. Then the problem is not only for the pygmy. But I would like to say, we don't start with a political idea first. The pygmy blues first for the love that we have to the polyphonic song from pygmy people. And then after we think, what can we do? What can we say? We go to singing about the flowers, or we know there is a big problem. We try to explain something. But the first step is the music all the time, or poetry, or sounds.
Yeah.
incredible, incredible.
That was the French group Chet Nunetta playing at the Rainforest World Music Festival here on the island of Borneo. And while we've been here, we've met so many fantastic musicians. Mathieu Najao is one of them, a master sape player, and he comes from a village in the area of Ulu Baram. And he's invited us to pop by to his longhouse to experience his music in its real setting. So, we woke up before dawn, caught a plane from Kuching to Miri, and now we're heading to the village in a four-wheel drive, 6 hours away along the bone-rattling logging roads and intermittent torrential downpours. This is Mathieu Najao playing the sape, a kind of boat-shaped lute, in a duet with his son back at the Rainforest World Music Festival. It wasn't too long ago that the peoples of the Borneo Rainforest were headhunters. Now life is very different. The logging has brought prosperity to the island, and the government is at least making some effort to try and share this around. So remote villages like Matthew's now have roads, schools, clean water from streams, brand new beautiful modern longhouses, and yes, even satellite television. But the old customs and courtesies still survive, as we learnt when Mathieu invited us down the river on a trip on his longboat. Well, it's a lovely, cool morning, and after the heavy rains of last night, everything just smells so fresh. There's still some steam rising up off the trees in the forest on the river banks. And we're here on the Baram River, one of the longest rivers in Sarawak, that starts near Mathieu Anja's settlement and wends its way along Sarawak till it ends up in the South China Sea. Mathieu, tell me something about your family. When did they come down the river, and why did they choose this place to stay?
Well, that was a very long time ago, about 200 years. Yeah, actually, my orang Ulu Kenyah were the first one to come from East Kalimantan, you know, to settle in the Upper Barams.
And orang means people.
People.
Ulu means upstream.
Upstream, yeah.
So
yes,
you are the upstream people of the Baram River.
River, exactly. Yes, yes. And our culture, all of us orang Ulu Kenyah that live along the riverbank, the culture is similar. Like the sampe, we play the music sampe culture, the same, the dance, all the same. So we consider ourselves all the same orang Ulu Kenyah, Upper Baram.
And do you still make a living from the river?
We depend so much on the river, because we go and catch fish in the river for our meal for the day. Just like our supermarket, you know. So you want fish, we go to the river and catch fish.
Is the river dangerous?
Yeah, but we keep to our traditional omen, you know what you call it? Yeah?
Spirits.
So spirits, like we go to river, we get fish, and at the same time we have this. We don't mention the name of that crocodile, you know, they are very dangerous. But we respect them and they respect us. We don't name them as, oh, crocodile, no. We call them our grandfather. Oh, grandfather, you are here. I am also searching for food like you. So that's how we communicate with that animal.
So do you have songs and stories that you have known for a long time about the river, about fishing?
Oh yes, so many of our songs. Because when we travel in the river, yes, we have song like, one of the paddling. Because we don't have an engine like what you see now, you know. We paddle. Do you want me to sing
yes,
that?
Yes, please, yeah? Matthew.
Okay. Masai muwit. Telu tu yang lulau lantelit masai muwit lulau telit uyan me uban tawai. So this type of song is it? So giving you encouragement, you know, to pedal the boat hard. Yeah.
And although we do have a motor in the boat now, but are these still the kinds of boats that you used to have, you've had for a long time? It's beautiful and long, thin.
Yeah. The long boat, we keep it long boat. Alo Lado, we call it. Alo Lado long boat. It's the only different, we have the engine at the back to push us. So much, much easier now, yeah? Okay.
So Matthew, I imagine that quite a lot of these communities, the only way we can get to them is by going along the river.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So do you think we should head off and tell them about the party tonight, invite them to come along?
Oh, yes. So this is our tradition, you know. When visitors come to our village, the people are very happy. So to show their appreciation that you come all the way from London, they are very pleased to see you. So in return, what they do, they will dance for you, they will sing for you tonight, yeah? Okay, yeah. And you drink, and we call borak with them. They will be very happy. Okay.
So let's go and call them.
Okay, let's go.
Fantastic.
Okay.
So this is a live dance band, a Borneo rainforest style, and the party's now in full swing. A bit later on, Matthew will be getting out the local brew that he mentioned, and listen out for the way they say cheers over here. It's really quite musical and quite dramatic. So Matthew, tell me what the name of this group is here tonight.
Oh, the name of this group is from my long house, you know. Ngorek Long Semiang.
And what are the instruments that we have here?
This, played by these two ladies, we call it Lutong.
It's got 8 strings, a beautiful wooden box,
yeah,
and they've got it on the floor, and they're just playing at the bottom with their two hands.
Yes,
each string.
The two fingers, the fingers. Yes.
And we've got two bamboo xylophone. But what is the local name
this,
for these?
This is not bamboo. It's from wood.
One is from wood.
Wood. We call this one the lutang.
Lutang. And I noticed that the sape.
Yeah.
That he is playing. He's playing it like a slide guitar.
Yeah, yeah, on the lap. I think, yeah, it's all to his convenience, you know, because he has a big stomach and he cannot cuddle the sape like me, so he put it on his lap.
And we have a very great looking, bright red, crimson red guitar.
Guitar, yeah. This even though we stay in the jungle, now the people likes to play the guitar.
So Matthew, tell me who this lady is.
Okay, this lady is Baon Lanjau, and she is playing the nose flute.
And she plays it while she is in the field or when she comes home after a long day working?
Okay, normally after a hard day's work, you know, come back to the house. She used to stay in the farmhouse, and alone she plays alone, you know. Even nobody there, she plays to herself.
So what's the next song we're going to hear?
The next song is Linggang Kangkong. Linggang Kampung, Linggang Kangkong. Shake your bum.
Shake your bum. It's a dance song.
Yeah, dance song. Linggang Kangkong. Okay?
So hopefully everybody will get up and dance too.
okay. I hope so. Yeah.
Thank you.
So Matthew, we're sat here in your longhouse. Yeah. I'd say it's, what, about 100 meters long?
Yeah, it's 15 doors, about that, yeah.
Yeah.
15 families, you know.
Does it start from one side or it starts in the middle and works its way over?
Yeah, normally longhouse start in the middle, you know. It's yeah. The headman always in the middle, and then the rest will follow from the left, extend from the right, something like that, yeah. So become longer and longer, yeah. Where we are sitting now is, we call it the veranda. Also, very important place where people come out from the room and meet their friend, relatives.
I had in my mind this idea that the longhouse was open to everybody, but actually, as you say, 15 doors, that means 15 private households and families.
Yes.
But this one shared long veranda that
you can have a great game of cricket there. Yeah, yeah.
Now, when we were coming back from our river trip today, you picked up some wood by the roadside that a friend had very kindly chopped up for you, and it's to make your sambe.
Yes, exactly.
Tell me about this beautiful instrument.
Sambe is our traditional instrument, because in the olden days, we have no other music, only sambe playing in the village. Then the village will be alive, you know? You hear the sape, you feel the longhouse is, you know, there's happiness there with this type of music.
So a lot of your songs, happy songs?
Oh, yes, happy song, very happy song. Yeah, make people happy. Yeah, after hard work in the field, in the farm, yeah. So the people come back and play the sambe at the veranda during nighttime. And somewhat like put people to sleep.
Yeah. I've noticed, Matthew, that the designs on your sape, the designs on the eaves of your long house here, and the tattoo on your arm are all the same.
Yeah.
What is it? What is this design?
This is our Orang Ulu Kenyah. We are very good in our own design, our own motif. We have our own motif from other tribes like the Iban, Debdayu. So we have this special, different type of design. So it has some relationship with the place, the surrounding where we live, like the creepers, the ferns that you are going to eat. You know the fern we collected?
Yeah, it's all curled up like a snail.
Yes,
I can see that in the designs here. You've got a lot of curled ferns.
Yeah, the intricate.
On the long road journey coming here, Matthew, from Miri, there were lots of logging trucks
going down,
and and I mean we're sitting here now and it's beautiful. You can't hear vehicles. You can't hear the sawmills or anything. But are you worried of some of your forests being encroached?
Yeah, because we somewhat like the headman earlier on, before the timber company started felling off the trees in the forest. So we make a rules whereby the company is not allowed to come certain, you know, kilometers from the village, and that area has somewhat like it's a reserve forest for us. They cannot come and chop all the trees that are especially nearby to our village.
Yeah, so you manage this large area of forest we can see as a community. You manage how much you clear, how much wood you use for your own houses. Living here is very much about using what you need and not wasting.
Yeah, because this place is very, very far from town, you know. So we have to depend so much on our forest, yeah, to get the wood nearby. So that's why we don't allow them, the timber people, to come and chop the wood right at our doorstep. We have to keep certain area for our own and for our next generation. Okay.
Tepat panak pemung jai kulula anti salam.
Selamat menikmati.
Tonight, here together, under a moonlit night, we drink together and are happy together. Those are the words of this song, and tonight I can think of no better place to be than miles away from anywhere in the middle of the Borneo jungle, enjoying strong drink and even stronger music. Now, if you read reports by some of the NGOs in the area, you'll see allegations of corruption, indiscriminate logging, and the displacement of indigenous groups. So there clearly are problems. But as we've found, there are many communities in the rainforest who are benefiting from Malaysia's new prosperity. And maybe the greatest potential of the Rainforest Festival is to show the world, and particularly show Malaysia, the value of preserving and nurturing the rainforest, to attract tourists, to maintain the ecological balance, and to preserve cultures that might otherwise disappear. And most of all, to allow the people of the rainforest to carry on with their way of life and to carry on singing their songs too.
Music from deep in the Borneo rainforest, ending that World Roots feature on the Rainforest World Music Festival. It was introduced by Lopa Katari and produced by Roger Short. You're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's now 20 to midnight, and my apologies to Claire Martin and Jazz Lineup. I'm afraid we've overrun into the start of the programme, but we join it now to hear the band Empirical with a track from their new album Tabula Rasa. It's called The Prophet.
That was The Prophet by Empirical, who'll play at London's Purserum on October the 16th, and their new release, Tabula Rasa, is out on the 26th of August. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, tonight's concert set is the second instalment of a performance by saxophonist Mark Lockhart's Ellington in Anticipation project, recorded at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama in Cardiff this year on May the 12th as part of this year's AMSA Jazz Time Festival. The lineup includes Finn Peters on alto sax and flute, James Alsop on clarinet, Liam Noble at the piano, Margaret Hassler on viola, Tom Herbert's playing the double bass, and Seb Rochford is on the drums. Mark's Ellington in Anticipation project is a tribute to Duke Ellington, in which Mark has deconstructed a